Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. A very familiar passage to us, but let's read this passage anyway. Verse 22, Numbers chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. We are almost done with our series on the elements of public worship service as listed in our order of worship. And this evening, we will study the benediction. There are many benedictions in the Bible, but perhaps the most famous one is the one that we find here in our text, Numbers chapter 6, verses 24, 25, and 26. We call this benediction the Aaronic benediction, coming from the name Aaron, because as you can tell, this benediction was originally given to Aaron and his sons. Now, this benediction has three parts. The first part is verse 24. Look at verse 24, please. "The Lord bless you and keep you." The second part is verse 25. "The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." The third part is verse 26. "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Now, for you to easily remember these three parts, I will give you three words. They all start with letter P. Really, the first part is about God's protection. Keep you. The second part is about God's pleasure. God's pleasure. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And the third part is about God's peace and give you peace. Protection, pleasure, and peace. What we're going to do in this message is look at these three parts one by one. So first of all, the Lord bless you and keep you. God's protection. Verse 24. Now notice, in this benediction, it is God, not Aaron, who blesses. Aaron is just a communicator of God's divine blessing to the people of Israel. God is just using Aaron to pronounce God's benediction to the people of Israel. And the same is true when the minister stands behind this pulpit and pronounces the benediction. He is not the one blessing God's people. The minister cannot grant you this kind of benediction, this divine blessing. Only God can do that. After all, we read in James chapter 1 verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift or blessing is from above, coming down from the Father." And so, notice that here it is God who blesses, not the priest, not Aaron or his sons, not the minister, but God and God alone. Now, what kind of blessing is this? Well, the second line of verse 24 elaborates more this blessing. So the first line is, the Lord bless you. The second line is, and keep you. Now in Hebrew, the word keep, shamar, can also be translated as guard or protect or watch over you. So really, this kind of blessing is the blessing of God's protection and preservation. May God keep you. Now, we all want to feel protected, don't we? In fact, protection is one of our basic needs. Traditionally, our three basic needs are food, clothing, and what else? Shelter or protection. We want to feel safe and protected. We want a shelter against our enemies. A wife wants to feel protected by her husband. Children want to feel protected by their parents. We all want to be kept safe from danger. We all need this kind of blessing that God is giving to His people. Interestingly, when someone sneezes, we usually say to that person, God bless you. Why do we say that? Why do we say God bless you after someone sneezes? Well, historically, this practice originated in the Middle Ages when the bubonic plague was spreading throughout Europe. And people of this time also referred to this plague as the Black Death, because the black spots this plague produced on the skin of a person. And this plague was so deadly that it killed 25 million people in just under 5 years, between 1347 and 1352. Now, since sneezing was often the first sign that someone was getting sick with the plague, people who heard someone sneezing would say to that person, God bless you, in hopes that God would protect that person from an otherwise certain death. God bless you. That is to say, may God keep you from bubonic plague, from this black death. May God protect you from this deadly plague. And you see the connection between God blessing you and God protecting you. And we see the two here in our passage. The first part of this benediction, the Lord bless you. In what way? What kind of blessing is this? The Lord keep you. God's protecting blessing. Now, no doubt, the Aaronic benediction also includes physical protection, but it also includes spiritual protection. Here, God is assuring us that He can protect us from sin and all its bitter effects. That God can protect you and me from the power of sin and from the penalty of sin, namely death. This benediction is assuring us that our God is willing to bless us. That is to say, He is willing to deliver us from this black death, figuratively speaking. From this bubonic plague, spiritually or figuratively speaking, that our God is willing to deliver you from this certain death. That He can deliver you from hell. That He can deliver you from Satan. That He can keep you away from sin and from the evil one. And only God can do this because He is our keeper. As we read in Psalm 121 verse 4, God is our keeper. He keeps us. And He does not slumber nor sleep. Think about that. He is our guard. You know, nowadays, we want to be, safe. And so, what we do, we apply for home security system. Our church itself, we have that kind of security system. Why do we have that? Well, by implication, we don't feel safe without it. Maybe many of you have that kind of security system in your house, alarm system. Well, because you want to make sure that you are protected. But at the end of the day, we all know that unless the Lord keeps us, we will remain in danger. Because only God and God alone can keep us from our enemies. He is our shelter, as we have sung. He is our shield against sin, against the devil. David proclaims in Psalm 144 verse 2, "The Lord is my shield, in whom I take refuge." God is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. And think about this. If you take refuge in God, you are in the better place. If you are in God, you are safe and secure. If you are under His wings, as one hymn writer says, "Under His wings, oh, what precious enjoyment! There will I hide till life's trials are over. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore." No wonder why the psalmist can say, "Blessed are all who take refuge in the Lord." They are blessed. In other words, they have that blessing. This highest form of blessing that you can receive from God. And think about this. Every Sunday you hear this benediction. The minister is pronouncing this benediction to you. Coming from God. God, as it were, is saying to the minister, "Pastor Brian Ajifor, this is how you should bless my people. Use these words. Tell them, the Lord bless you and keep you." And keep you. He can keep you. He can save you. He is our keeper. But secondly, let's look at the second part of this benediction. "The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." Here we see God's pleasure. Let me explain why I choose the word pleasure here. Well, "the Lord make His face to shine upon you" is the exact opposite of the expression that we read in Isaiah 57 verse 17. "Because of the willful disobedience of my people, I punished them," says the Lord. "And I hid my face from them, and I was angry with them." Think about this. Boys and girls, do you know that when God is angry with us because of our willful disobedience, because of our stubbornness, when we don't listen to Him, He hides His face from us. And you don't want God to do that to you. Because the moment God hides His face from you, that means you will be in great trouble. Now, of course, we know that God is a spirit. He does not have a literal, physical face. It is a figurative expression to say that that God hides His face from us is to say that He is withdrawing His blessing, His favor from us because of our sin. Now we need to remember this, that God is holy. He cannot behold sin with a smile on His face. Just like boys and girls, when your mommy or when your daddy tells you not to do this, and you did it when you did not listen to your parents, don't expect your parents to show a happy face. Instead, and for sure, children, you notice this from your mommy or from your daddy. When you disobey them, look at their face. It's sad, unhappy. It's not shining because of sin, because something is wrong. And the same is true. The same is true. You see, by nature, we are all sinners. We are all sinners. And God is holy, and therefore He cannot look upon us with a smile on His face and say, "Ooh, I'm so happy with you. I'm seeing your sin, and I rejoice in that sin." God cannot do that. And so what He does, He hides His face from us because He cannot look at us. That's why, don't you realize, why is it that Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know the answer? We studied that this morning. Because at that very moment, Jesus became sin. He became sin because your sin and my sin were transferred to Him. Remember? God laid all our iniquities upon His Son. And so Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. And because of that, God the Father could not look upon His Son with a smile on His face. Instead, God had to hide His face from His Son. "Depart from me!" He forsook His Son. And Jesus felt it. That's why He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, when we disobey our God, He hides His face from us. He cannot look at you with pleasure, with joy. When you did that sin, you know what it was. God was deeply sad. And think about this, whenever we sin, because God cannot tolerate our sin. And that's why, you know what's amazing? In the second part of the benediction, the second line says, "And be gracious to you." Because apart from God's grace, God cannot make His face to shine upon us. The only reason why God can look upon you with a smile on His face is because of His grace. Because of His grace. Demonstrated, of course, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And so when you hear this benediction every Sunday, "The Lord make His face to shine upon you," you know very well that He cannot make His face to shine upon you when there is sin in your heart and in my heart. And yet, there's another part of that blessing. "And be gracious to you," and you realize that you need that grace. "Lord, I need that grace. Please be gracious to me. Please pardon me, oh God. Please forgive me, Lord. Please take that sin away from me. And be gracious to you." And be gracious to you. third part of this benediction. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. If you observe, there is a progress of the thought here. The Lord bless you and keep you. There is protection. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And then here's the climax. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. Upon you. What it does is, it's like when you sing, now you reach the high notes. Now, God's blessing is sinking deep down on you. His countenance is lifted up and going down upon you. And what is the result of that? Peace. Peace. This is the sum total of all the blessings. Peace. Peace. I was reading this illustration from very ancient times. The hearts of men have longed for peace, not merely that there shall be no more war, though that too, but more particularly, peace of mind and heart. In the early days of Israel, we have the benediction, the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Sanskrit invocations end with peace, peace, peace. Where can we secure this peace that men have longed for through many centuries? The answer is given us in the words of the Master, in the words of Jesus Christ, when He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. The peace that brings calm to the soul, even in the midst of the storms that sweep over every life, is to be found in Jesus alone." It can be found nowhere else. In Jesus alone. You know, that's interesting because remember when Jesus rose again from the dead, He met His disciples. His disciples were afraid. What did He say to them? Shalom. Peace be with you. And I think Jesus is echoing this benediction. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now we have Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, giving us peace. That peace that passes all understanding. Peace that this world cannot give you. Peace that your money in your bank account cannot buy. This is the kind of peace that only comes from Jesus. And so Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord. That peace comes only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I end this message, I have three concluding remarks. And here's the first one. God can give this benediction, this beautiful, glorious, wonderful benediction. He can give this benediction only in His name. In His name. Now, read verse 27, please. Numbers 6, verse 27. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. That's fascinating. You know what God is saying to Aaron and his sons, to the priest? I want you to put my name upon the people of Israel. Because that will be the ground. That will be the basis for my blessing them. If I don't see my name upon them, I cannot bless them. So the name of God becomes, as it were, the instrument through which God bestows His divine benediction upon His covenant people. And you know what's interesting? This just entered my mind. When we baptize a child, what do? We baptize that child in the name of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And think about these children. You may not know this. Of course, you don't know this because you were a baby when you were baptized here. But you have the name of God on your head, on your forehead. And God is pleased to bless someone who has the name of God. Apart from the name of God, He cannot bless anyone in this world. And so Jesus said, whatever you ask, ask in my name, and it shall be given to you. If you don't ask in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, don't expect to receive a blessing from God. And so the question is this, do you have the name of God on you? Do you have the name of God written on your forehead, figuratively speaking? If you don't have the name of God, don't expect to receive this benediction. For God says, so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Children, don't waste your baptism. Don't waste the name of God given to you when you were baptized there. Use that name. Come to God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, pleading with God, reminding Him of His own promise. Lord, You have promised that when I believe in Jesus, You will save me, that You will cleanse me from all my sins. Second thought, not all can receive God's benediction. Now listen please. In the original, the pronoun you in this benediction is singular. I grew up using the King James Version when I was in the Philippines. That was our pew Bible, King James Version. So I memorized this Aaronic benediction in King James. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Singular. Now, that is interesting. You know why? Because this benediction is given to the whole congregation of the people of Israel. Note the preface to the benediction. Verses 22 and 23. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. Plural. And you shall say to them, plural. And then when you come to the benediction, God uses intentionally the singular pronoun, thee, which is not obvious here in English, because nowadays we don't speak using thee and thou. So, if you don't know the original, it's hard for you to tell whether this you is plural or singular, but it is singular. That's why I told you that in King James, the rendition of this benediction is this way: the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, because, first of all, listen to this, please. God views His congregation, the congregation of the people of Israel, He views them as one spiritual unit. There were no two congregations in the Old Testament, or three congregations. There was only one congregation of the people of Israel. So when God looked at them, He looked at them as one. As one. Now, when God uses the singular pronoun here, He's making an implication that not everyone in that congregation will receive this blessing. Only those who believe in Him. Only those who have the name of Jehovah. It's like here, okay. So the minister pronounces God's benediction at the end of our worship service. The Lord bless you and keep you. Oh, I often say receive God's benediction. It is meant to be given to the entire congregation of Dayton United Reformed Church. But in reality, and this is a sad reality and a painful reality, that not everyone here can receive this benediction. Only a true believer in Christ can receive this benediction. And so if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot receive this benediction. But curse. There is no blessing upon the wicked and upon the ungodly. There is no blessing upon those who do not trust in the Lord for their salvation. So, while you hear this, the Lord bless you and keep you, given to those who believe in Jesus Christ. The other side of this benediction is this: the Lord will curse you. The Lord will curse you if you are an unbeliever. And you see that pattern in the Bible: cursing or blessing. There is no in between. You are either under God's curse or under God's blessing. And so my third concluding remark is this: God's benediction is to be received by faith in Jesus Christ. You know what's interesting? It was a Jewish tradition that this blessing was given at the close of the daily sacrifice. And we follow that tradition. That's why you wonder, why is it that we pronounce this benediction at the end of our worship service? Because traditionally, the Jews would give this blessing at the close of the daily sacrifice after they made an offer, sacrifice to the Lord. Do you know what it means? It means that there has to be a sacrifice first before God can pronounce His benediction. In other words, if Jesus had not died on the cross, there will be no benediction. Jesus had to offer Himself first as a sacrifice for our sin so that God could pronounce this benediction to His church. And our responsibility is to receive that benediction by faith. It's like, picture this. Maybe if you can see this benediction, like physically, like the Lord bless you. Here comes the blessing coming from above. Now you don't want to let it fall to the ground. Don't waste it. You want to receive it. You want to catch it. You want to listen carefully to that benediction. And I think sometimes we think that this benediction is not really important. And so we're in a hurry. We want to exit the sanctuary right away without listening to the benediction, without receiving the benediction. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss God's benediction. And so you receive it. You receive it. And the gospel is this. The good news is this. Now we can receive this benediction because the sacrifice, the offering has been made already. Jesus died on the cross. And so because of that, we can receive the blessing of protection. Remember the first part of this benediction? And keep you. Now God can keep us because of Christ. Now the blessing of God's pleasure. Now God can make His face to shine upon us. Now God can look upon us with a smile on His face. Now what He said to His Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now He can say it to you. He can say, This man over there, Randy Heisenberg, that man, I am well pleased in that man because of Christ. Because I see my Son in him. Because he has the blood of my Son. Because he has the righteousness of my Son imputed to him. Now God can look upon you with a big smile. Like a father, when his child has done something good, he looks at his son with a big smile, a smile of happiness, of approval, a smile of pleasure. Well done, my son. And that's what the Father can do to us now. I am well pleased in you. And because of what Jesus has done also, now God can say to us, "Peace be with you." Peace. Think about that. And give you peace. Now I give you peace. Before, I could only give you punishment. I could only give you condemnation. But now I can give you peace. Because of my Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing that is. And so I pray that whenever we hear this benediction, we will remember those things. God's protection, God's pleasure, and God's peace. Don't waste this benediction. You will hear it later. Receive it by faith. It can be yours. Yes, you can be blessed by God. You can receive His divine benediction by faith. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you, O God, for this benediction also. So powerful, so beautiful, so glorious. We thank you for your willingness to bless us. And that's only because of Jesus Christ who gave himself for us to be a sacrifice for our sin, for our atonement. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.